incendiary.
Well, it's, looks like it's time to get started. And, one other thing I just realized I need to do, this will just take a second. I need to set up our Facebook link. Okay, there's more folks coming, so it's great. Yeah, it's wonderful to see you folks here this evening. I'm coming to you live from PIMC, and just finished up offering the first Basics of Mindfulness class in the series, so that was good. And yeah, I'm looking forward to sitting here with our freedom. And so, yeah, just an invitation to get comfy and settled as we spend an evening of practice together. And maybe as we get started, to just let ourselves have a little experience of appreciation and gratitude for the opportunity to come together to practice, the conditions that make this evening possible, this technology, the resources that we have that allow us the time and energy to practice, and gratitude for, all of that. And as we enter into the experience of, deepening presence, to discover what it is that, lets us know that we're really here in this moment. Maybe it's points of contact or feet resting on the floor, hands touching, letting eyes close, and just discovering in this moment what's really most alive, what's happening. and to be curious about what else is going on in the body. If there's any places where there could be some tension or tightness or constriction, see if it's possible, let there be a little softening, a little ease. Letting go of cares and concerns from the day as we enter in mindfully to the body. And if we discover some tension or tightness or constriction, it might be helpful to take a couple of long, slow, deep breaths. Just let the breath help us to enter into or deepen into a sense of ease and openness, connection. And it might be useful just to reflect in the beginning on where is it that we can find refuge or a place of safety and peace. And the invitation in this practice is to not look for safety and refuge in the external world, but really find it within. To find it in this capacity to be alert, to be awake. It's traditionally taking refuge in the Buddha. To find it in this capacity to discover through our awareness what's true. And to find it in the experience of, discovering when we are able to notice what's true, that it leads to freedom. It's taking refuge in the Dharma. And then to take refuge in love, take refuge in this capacity to experience our inner being, our interconnectedness with each other, with life. Taking refuge in the Sangha. And if there's anything that's helpful in just allowing our minds and bodies to really be here at the same place at the same time. You know, any little bit more softening or a little bit more attending. Our body is always here in the present moment. The mind can be off other places. So that's why we find starting with noticing the experience of sensation in the body as such a helpful tool. And we work with noticing the aliveness of the breath. As we let the breath breathe itself. each experience of breathing is like a messenger from our true nature, our awake nature, beckoning us back home, back to this moment, back to being whole and complete, free from identification with stories and judgments and commentaries. And so just noticing, where is that sensation of breathing? Where is it that we can discover that in this moment? This embodied experience of breathing is willing to be here under any mental, emotional, or physical state. So whether the mind is peaceful or restless and agitated, whether there's physical pain or there's bliss and ecstasy, whether there's anger or kindness and compassion, the breath is always here. It's right here. This breath. This experience of a chest that expands and contracts, belly rises and falls, touch of the breath at the tip of the nostrils, so nothing is excluded. The experience of awakening can happen in this very moment, under these very conditions, when things are like this. it takes a certain quality of intention and effort to remember there's a breath, there's a body that sits and breathes. Sometimes it's easy, and there's a momentum, a presence. Sometimes it really is one breath, and then the mind wanders and gets lost, and then wakes up and recognizes, oh, there's a breath that's happening. And the invitation is to be gentle and friendly with whatever the conditions are that we find. There's a warmth and an acceptance that comes with this intention of kindness. See if it's possible to tap into that. See if it's possible to deepen into acceptance of whatever is happening in this moment. And part of that is being present for what is happening without being identified with the judging, resisting, clinging. And the fruit of radical acceptance in this moment is peace. As the mind and heart grow more peaceful, it happens by itself. There isn't anybody here that's trying to make something happen. It's more the recognition that actually peace is our true nature. And keep returning to this moment, to this breath.
If you want to travel with your kid, but don't want to share your kid's bedtime, you might not want to share a hotel room. Get an Airbnb and get some time after bedtime.
So just an apology to folks on Facebook. Had a technical difficulty, and so we're back. I apologize for that interruption. And so, yeah, let's just come back to centering in the breath, noticing what comes up. If there's any disturbance or sense of distraction, we can just... we center in the breath. It may be helpful to take a long, slow, deep breath. As we near the end of this set, yeah, to just let go of any bit of striving or tension, yeah, and just dropping into the experience as best we can of being peaceful in this moment, this breath, these body sensations, and present for the experience of hearing, perhaps as we transition to the sound of the bell. It's wonderful to have this chance to practice with you this evening. And just an invitation to keep that kind of settled present state as we move into perhaps doing a little stretching. And yeah, so just checking in with the body if there's any movement or shifting that would be gesture of kindness, to let that happen with full awareness, being fully present. And in meditation, to shift to presence with hearing, as I share a few brief announcements. First, just a reminder about the practice of generosity. There's a post in the chat with information there. The most important thing there is just the experience of the joy of giving in whatever way, through volunteer activities or sharing of time and energy or financial contributions, whatever way works for you. And then a few upcoming events at PIMC. There's a retreat with Jim Dalton this weekend, Saturday, Qigong mindful movement from 10 to 4 in person at PIMC. And then later this month, Mary Stankavage is offering a day long, that's April 27th from 10 to 4 here at PIMC. And then there's there's some other retreats coming up that Robert is offering out in May and June, so you're welcome to go to the PIMC website and check those out. Some things to consider. Also, I'm looking at coming back to a hybrid offering for Heart of Freedom in the near future. I'm here this evening kind of giving things a test run with the basics of mindfulness class. And so I should have an announcement in the next couple of weeks about when I'll open back up here for both in person and we'll continue to offer this on Zoom. There's a few little technical glitches that happened this evening. One kind of strange thing where my device that was broadcasting on Facebook got some kind of takeover by an ad that disrupted the service. So that was unfortunate for the folks on Facebook. So I apologize again, folks on Facebook. And there was a sound issue that I think I found the solution to on Zoom. So yeah, we're just kind of working out the glitches here. But I'd like to give us a chance to check in as a group. So, most of you have been here kind of know our container for sharing, but just a reminder that it's totally optional. But if you'd like to check in, love to hear just a few words about what's most alive for you this evening, what your experience is. And if you'd like to share your name, that's great. When you're finished, just say, "I've spoken," and or "I'm done." That would let the next person know that it's their turn. And to try to give each person space so we don't engage in crosstalk. So that's it. And I'll start. My name is Doug. And feeling a little bit under the weather, a little congested, and headachey, but holding that with a lot of kindness and acceptance, and that makes it a lot easier. So, and it's so grateful to have your loving presence and support here this evening. So thank you. I have spoken.
I'm just happy to be with the community. Thank you. That's why I've spoken.
Thanks, Michelle.
Hello, this is James. Yeah, I've had a pretty interesting week. I've been to the media care a couple times, and seems like things are getting better now, and I'm glad to be here with all of you. I've spoken.
Thanks, James.
This is Karen, and I'm just feeling more uplifted today, just letting things go, a bunch of family stressors, my family of origin, and just kind of letting it go today and feeling much lighter.
Thanks, Karen.
I'm Esme. I'm preparing to Tenzo for a weekend retreat with a different Sangha, and it's been a while since I felt I had the capacity to do that, but it's giving me a lot of joy because I just love that role. So that's being good for my heart, even though it's going to be a lot of work. I've spoken.
Thank you, Esme. So, just checking, anybody on the, just the edge of jumping in there? All right, well, I'll share a little Dharma talk for you. The reflection this evening is on peace, practicing peace, and I'd like to share with you a poem. This is from John Denver, who is a pretty famous songwriter and musician back in the 1970s and 80s. Some of us older folks will probably remember John Denver. He performed this poem live in a concert in London in 1980, I believe. So you can find a YouTube video of it if you're interested. There's a name for war and killing. There's a name for giving in when you know another answer. For me, the name is sin. But there's still time to turn around and make all hatred cease and give another name to living. We could call it peace. And peace would be the road we walk, each step along the way. And peace would be the way we work, and peace the way we play. And in all we see that's different, and in all the things we know, peace would be the way we look, and peace the way we grow. There's a name for separation. There's a name for first and last. When it's all for us or nothing, for me the name is past. But there's still time to turn around and make all hatred cease and give a name to all the future. And we could call it peace. And if peace is what we pray for and peace is what we give, then peace will be the way we are and peace the way we live. Yes, there is still time to turn around and make all hatred cease and give another name to living, and we could call it peace. That's John Denver. So, it's challenging to find peace in a world that seems like it's in some ways bent on violence and war. We live in a very violent society, a place that doesn't feel safe to a lot of people. And that's challenging. It's hard to find peace, hard to find refuge there. Particularly if we're looking for it in the external world, it's nearly impossible to find it there. Although we do all kinds of things to try to find it there, all kinds of anesthetizing and intoxication and distraction and all of those things. And frankly, without some form of mind training, some form of spiritual practice or cultivation, of course we're going to try to find ways to escape, to find some peace someplace. And so totally understandable, and we can look with the eyes of compassion and see. The leading cause of injury for women in America is being beaten by the men that they live with. So that's there. That's out there. So even in the places where it's supposed to be safe in our homes, for a lot of people it isn't safe. So it's difficult. We're very fortunate if we have a safe, a peaceful place to practice, to do this cultivation. Such a great good fortune. There was a Tibetan teacher, Tothang Tuklu, who said, "Our graveyards are full with the casualties of war. Are the outer wars really just a reflection of the inner war? Are they a result of the mind projecting abundance upon others, its unwanted qualities? Does this arise when we're not willing to be here with the truth in our own minds? Do we project it out? Do we see it out there? Does the violence and the wars between people reflect the inner wars, the inner conflict, the fear? We talked about fear last Sunday when I was teaching. Two Sundays ago, actually, do we go to war with other countries in the same way we go to war with unwanted aspects of this mind and body, kind of unconsciously? Some questions to contemplate. And our contemporary society, mainstream society, seems to support suppression, denial, distraction, the covert actions of the inner war effort. And so in this practice, we're swimming against the stream of that. We're saying, no, let's turn towards that stuff. Because the anger, the fear, the hatred, the sadness, the depression, all of that stuff that we shut down or project or whatever is actually coming from the same heart center where also exists the joy and the delight and the wonder. So if you shut down the unwanted stuff, you shut down the good stuff too. That's just how it works. So how do we make peace with what we find, really? At its core, Buddha Dharma is a religion of peace or a practice of peace or a unfolding of peace. And in the early teachings of the Buddha that show up in the Dhammapada, in the early Pali texts, the Buddha makes this abundantly clear. Verse 5 of the text, 423 verses, says this: hatred is never appeased by hatred. Hatred is only appeased by love, or non-enmity. That is the eternal law. Couldn't be more clear. And this is echoed down the ages from the time of the Buddha. A more contemporary spiritual teacher, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Hate can't drive out hate, only love can do that. When hatred preoccupies consciousness or colonizes consciousness, others are viewed as obstacles or foes, as wrong or evil, something that is objectified that then we can justify going to war with or causing harm to. And those who hate are always blind and not seeing the full humanity of those who are hated. And hatred perpetuates itself. We can see that. We can see that in the world. We can see that in our own minds. From mild irritation to enraged. And to end hatred, we can tap into something that's bigger than that mind state. And the state of metta, or loving kindness, where it's bigger than that. It's bigger than any contracted state. And it's guided by wisdom. So with this kind of metta or loving kindness, guided by wisdom, we aren't fooled into distorted views and know our own full humanity and the full humanity of others. Yeah, that's the practice, to have a heart that's big enough to really hold the whole thing. And then we can be wise and discriminating on what we act on and don't act on. Anger and hatred is one of those seeds in consciousness that arises. And if we aren't mindful of it, then it can hijack the brain and cause us to act in ways that are, in some cases, horrific or really destructive. And when it's held with compassionate understanding, we can discover what the underlying needs and unrecognized feelings are, the fears, and then it's possible to be in relationship and connection. Jack Kornfield, a Dharma teacher, tells the story of witnessing the Cambodian monk Grandzananda reciting this poem of peace that the Buddha shared in a refugee camp at the height of the Khmer Rouge genocide in Cambodia. And under the threat of death from the Khmer Rouge, he built a large bamboo temple in a prison camp in the midst of this camp. 20,000 refugees gathered to hear this monk repeat over and over again, "Hatred never ceases by hatred, by love alone does it cease." And as he did this, according to Jack Kornfield, all of the refugees started crying, and there was this profound opening. And apparently, according to Jack's description, the guards didn't try to shut it down, and they didn't punish him. Pretty miraculous thing under those conditions. So sometimes it isn't so dramatic as that, but it starts right here. We can transform, we can find peace where there has always been war, with practicing this intention. And so it starts right here. It starts with you and me and us. The stopping of the war, starts right here. The seeds of peace, compassion, kindness are encouraged to bloom in meditation. I just remembering an experience earlier this evening. Just wondering whether it's skillful to share. Well, I'll just say that I had an encounter with a person who was obviously challenged with a mental health issue and it was manifesting in a way where they saw other people as aggressors, and the person was here at PIMC, and so I had an opportunity to try and work with that person, because I had people showing up for my basics class, and I tried to find that place of peace and kindness in me to have a conversation with them. And ultimately, I could see that it wasn't going to be helpful for them or us for them to say. So I asked them to leave, but they did so in a way that was peaceful. So I think if I had been reactive and confrontational, it could have gone quite a different direction. So I'm grateful for this practice. And I actually got an email from them. I checked between my classes, and they emailed to apologize for their behavior. So, I don't know how things would have been different, but I can imagine it could have been different if I'd been coming from a different place. So, I work in mental health, and I understand how incredibly painful and difficult it is to lose touch with reality and have mental states get the best of us. Just being in touch with that. It's about cultivating a compassionate, present relationship with what comes up in our minds and our hearts, so we can work with it, so we can be in relationship with it. To the degree that we're judging of others, then almost invariably those judgments come back on ourselves. It's a double-edged sword. So there's an invitation. This practice of mindfulness, being non-judgmental, is in its full application a practice of peace, a practice of freedom from the things that divide us. And what are those things that divide us? Fundamentally, it's our conditioning. The things that we see out there, dismantling hateful projections begins with recognition that we do, in fact, harbor them, and then the willingness to look at our own particular prejudices or judgments without going into self-hatred, because that's not helpful. It just exacerbates the problem. The seeds of hatred and judging and division are here in every human consciousness. What grows is what we feed, what we give energy to. And with mindfulness, we start to have some freedom to choose what we give energy to, what we reinforce, what we act on, what we speak. To explore it with compassionate understanding and recognize that it isn't our true nature, really. And our hearts can open, and ultimately we can transform ourselves into loving individuals, loving neighbors and partners and citizens of the world. The understanding is from the Buddhist teaching is hatred is learned, and it's unwittingly cultivated. And we can unlearn it. Racism, homophobia, transphobia, misogyny. Those are things that are learned. Ethnic and class distinctions are learned. We can unlearn them. We can go beneath them. They aren't our true nature. So that's the invitation. And it's about cultivating this relationship with our own minds and hearts so that we can be present for what arises without being fused with it, without being totally identified with it, without going into reaction against it, without believing I'm a horrible, awful person just because I had an angry thought that passed through. It's just the weather system that's passing through. So just a few questions this evening, and then there'll be a little guided meditation. So just reflect again in the spirit of compassionate presence for ourselves, kindness. And is there any part of our experience that we relegate to something to be despised or judged negatively, to be criticized, or even hated or suppressed? And it's human, of course, we do that. With this practice, there's an invitation to gently turn towards that and welcome it into the light of awareness. How much of our life do we contract from in habitual patterns of conditioning? And is it possible to begin or to continue the journey of opening, softening, accepting? And working to cultivate a heart that can stay open when the cruel, the insensitive, the self-serving, those states come up, so that we can meet them with mindfulness, compassion, and understanding, and we don't have to act them out. We can observe them, recognize that they pass away when observed and not acted on, that they aren't self, that to the degree that we repress or identify with them, they cause suffering. The unobserved, afflictive mental state may not feel like it's suffering, but once we're present with it, it's incredibly painful to be here with anger and hatred. And then really that recognition is what helps us free ourselves from it. It isn't because we should, have to, ought to. There isn't like a moral sort of you should do this. It's just what when we're present, when we cultivate this quality of presence, it's what the heart does. It's what the heart does. It naturally lets go and relinquishes the things that are unwholesome, that aren't helpful. And so, how do we remember that we can stop the war by meeting the mind in the heart, by tapping into our natural goodness that's already here, We don't have to create it. We just need to reconnect with it, rediscover. How do we end the struggle with ourselves that makes us fear the mind instead of seeing it as an exquisite tool? At what point do we see pain not as punishment, but as a remarkable opportunity to make peace? If I could just stay here with this pain. I know there's been times on retreat for me where there's been such incredible agonizing pain. And then there's this breakthrough. Something lets go. And there's a willingness to feel it. And the struggle ends. The pain doesn't necessarily go away, although oftentimes it's reduced. But there's peace there instead of struggle. Yeah. How do I make peace where there's always been war? Meeting this incessant struggle for control, our long conditioned inner conflicts, with something other than the old mind's way of violence and victory. To make peace in this moment, with this state, whatever state is present. Not leaning into the next moment, but really here with this pain, with this discomfort. So one way I'm going to kind of wrap things up here is one way of looking at this, the purpose of our spiritual discipline, our practice, is to give us a way to stop the war. Not by force of will, but organically through understanding, through gradual, kind training, coming back again and again, and the mind recoils, and then we try again, back again to this. And then to discover the greatness of our own heart that's actually big enough to feel the fear that's at the root, the discontent, the difficulties we've always avoided, that it softens. And opening to the greatness of the one heart that is big enough to feel the 10,000 joys and the 10,000 sorrows. And like I said, there is no shoulds, have tos, ought tos. There's no forcing it. It's a natural, organic unfolding. Just keep coming back to this breath. Coming back with tenderness. Coming back with as much open-heartedness as we can bring. And that's how we find peace. That's where peace is. And just to, maybe to clarify something before I do the guided meditation, in case it's not clear, this isn't the peace that comes from shutting anything down or ignoring anything. This is the durable peace that comes from being ultimately open to everything. That's the true refuge. So that's it. So I thought I'd just invite us to do a little practice. I know it's getting late, so this will be short, but just letting your body be at rest, just letting your breathing be easy and present. And just to, just notice whatever sensations are present in the body. Any tensions or pains, anything that on even a subtle level you've been resisting or fighting against, and see if it's possible to just allow it a little bit more. With just an intention of kindness and curiosity, simply notice with an interest, maybe letting your awareness starting to kind of just scan through the body. And any place you find any bit of struggle or tension, see if it's possible to just let your intention be acceptance, letting this be, just letting it be, opening. And if it's too much, if there's a tensing up or resisting, then you can always circle back to the breath. But our intention here is really to let go of the battle. And the battle might be on a physical level quite apparent. There might be some pain or discomfort. Or it might be more subtle, might be more like a mental or emotional state that's not quite to our liking. Some distraction or sleepiness or doubt, maybe clinging, and see how we can be aware and just hold this with just allowing it to be the way it is. There's simple recognition of, oh, there's this physical sensation, this pain, or this mental state. May I practice peace here in this moment with this state. Just letting our hearts be soft and open to any subtle or not so subtle place where there might still be a little battle going on. And just let the breath help us remember to make peace. So if you've been fighting any wars with your feelings, been in conflict with the experience of loneliness or fear, confusion, grief, anger, addiction, any of those things, just to compassionately sense the struggle that's there. The struggles in your thoughts. And notice the how difficult that might be. Be aware of how you've carried on the inner battles, the inner armies, maybe the inner dictators or the inner warriors or fortifications. And holding all of this with compassionate, loving presence. And letting what shows up in your body soften go of the battle and breathe quietly and just let yourself be at rest. And see if it's possible to invite all the parts of yourself to join you at the peace table in the center of your heart. It's right here. And maybe even putting a hand there if that's helpful. In just a moment, we'll be bringing this meditation to a close. And yeah, whatever experience is present, please just allow that that's, yeah, totally okay. There's nothing that was that's supposed to happen. Just being here with what is happening. So, yeah, anybody like to share or any questions about practicing peace?
Hi, it's Kirsten.
Hi, Kirsten.
Thank you so much for this. I appreciate you sending out the emails with the topic that you're going to be talking about. It gives me a chance to kind of reflect on those ideas. And I guess what came up for me was the peace that comes with renunciation. Especially when it comes to wanting to change my feelings, you know, like I have done for, you know, 30 years, turning to things outside of myself to change the way that I feel, you know, alcohol or drugs or Amazon. And to really be able to learn how to sit with those feelings and see that when I use something to change that feeling, that it just puts it off until later. And that it's just so much easier to just feel it at the moment that it's happening and just be done with it. So there is peace that comes with that. I like what you said about the willingness to feel the feeling is what brings you peace. You know, and I said that to my brother today because he's lost his job. He's 56 years old and he's struggling to find work. And I said, you know, just remember that we use things to keep us from feeling, and that when the feelings come up, just sit with them, you know, just make a note of it, you know, which is what Joseph Goldstein says. Did you note it? You know, so, I mean, because that's what makes us human. That's what life is those feelings. That's what tells me that I'm alive, you know. That's the wonderful thing about being a human and being alive. So thank you so much for the topic and for the meditation tonight. I'm finished.
Thanks, Kirsten. So, just checking, anybody on the edge of diving in there and sharing something? I'll just mention before we do our closing, this might be helpful. Seems to me that there's four different kinds of peace. And the first two are pretty straightforward, and the third and the fourth take us into kind of the deep end of the spiritual pool. And so the first kind of peace is the peace that comes from ease. And that's the peace of relaxation and relief, and it comes in many forms. And you know, if we look out the window and we've been feeling stressed, we feel a little calmer. Talk through a problem with a friend, or finally make it to the bathroom. And we finish a batch of emails or washing dishes or whatever, and there's a rest, there's an ease there. The second is the peace of tranquility. This is a deep quiet in the mind and the body. And, you know, we experience that in meditation or in other circumstances. Or while we're sitting on the mountaintop looking out at a beautiful sunset. And the mind and body are settled. And there's no sense of deficit or disturbance. The third kind of peace is the peace of awareness. And this is a subtler kind because, you know, we've had the experience of being upset and our mind is racing. And at the same time, there's a place inside that is simply witnessing, that's untroubled by what it sees. Or you may have had the sense of awareness as an open space in which sights and sounds and thoughts and feelings arise and disappear. The space itself is never ruffled or harmed by what's passing through. I'm not speaking about anything mystical here. I'm only talking what you can directly see in your own mind, just observing that. And then finally, the fourth kind of peace is the peace of what's unchanging. Most things continue to change, some don't. For example, the fact that things change doesn't change itself. 2 + 2 will always equal 4. The good thing we did this morning or last year will always have happened. Things don't change. The things that don't change are reliable, that which feels peaceful. But the second, while individual waves come and go, the ocean is always the ocean. While the contents of the universe are changing, the universe as universe is not changing. When you include the whole thing, which is beyond description, you get an intuition of this by recognizing that we are individual local waves in the vast ocean of humanity, of nature. Yes, we are changing, but within an unchanging phenomenon, there's something bigger that we can't really comprehend, at least with our intellects. That's the whole thing. Yeah, there's peace there. So yeah, it's time for us to wrap up, and I'd like to just invite us to do a closing, just a brief practice. And so this evening I'd like to invite us to just wish ourselves peace. And whatever way makes sense, what would bring us peace? What intention or what way of holding or responding or just being would bring us to that experience of peace and wish that for ourselves. Yeah, may I find peace even when fill in the blank. The mind is colored by anger or their self-judgment. May I find peace. May I find freedom. Non-identification. Yeah, and wishing for ourselves that experience of freedom. And recognizing that we cultivate our hearts and minds to remember our true great nature, which is that universal, which we all can tap into. So it just makes sense to wish that for others as well. May you find that peace that's beyond gain and loss. It's beyond liking and disliking. May you find that the peace that is freedom, that's total freedom. And extending that to our Sangha, to our friends and family, may all beings that we know and have contact with find peace. And we can extend our wishes for peace out into the world, thinking of all of those places that are tormented and experiencing extreme anguish due to the wars in the external world. So many places. Yeah, too many places. Wishing peace. May we find peace. May we remember our true nature, that we're all connected, that there is one heart. Extending those wishes out in all directions, to all people, to all places. Wishing for peace, and it starts right here. So, I'd like to invite us to close with a simple chant, and that's may all beings be happy, and we can do that 3 times, and then sadhu, so be it, 3 times. You're welcome to unmute and join me if you'd like. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. So please take what's beneficial and continue to practice. And anything that's not, just let it go. And please go in peace and joy and love.
Thank you, Doug. Good night.
Thank you, Doug. Good night, Sangha.
Take care.
Thank you, everybody.